Today's subject is very likely the most neglected major aspect of Christian living. And this neglect is the reason why many Christians and many Christian churches have a very poor quality of spiritual life. And also, why they have at times very poor progress in spiritual growth. Today's subject, you might guess, has to do with prayer. In order to deepen and improve this essential aspect of the Christian life in our own lives, let's allow the Lord to speak to us from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. These verses will speak to us about how to pray and what to pray for. Let's read them. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. First of all, some words from the Lord concerning how to pray. We're told here that we are to pray with all prayer and petition. To pray with all prayer would deal with general types of prayers. To pray with petitions would be to pray in specific or particular requests. How are we to pray? How are we to speak to the Lord? We're to pray with all prayer, with every kind of prayer the Lord has made available. Praying is extremely broad and is to be diverse. Our prayer lives are to grow in that way. We're to pray with prayers of thanksgiving. When a child of God forgets to include thanksgiving in their prayer life, something critical is lost and the life in the Lord is diminished. Praise is a form of prayer. If we fail to praise the Lord, even though we're thanking Him for all that He's done or given, there is a very special part of our life missing. Prayer should include adoration. Most of us probably would think of praying as asking God for something. And that's true and legitimate and important. But part of our prayer life should be adoration. Just telling the Lord how great we found Him to be. Not asking Him for anything, not begging Him to do something, not even thanking or praising Him, but just telling Him how great we have found Him to be and how much we adore Him because He is so wonderful and so beautiful. Part of our prayer life should also be intercession. Not just praying for ourselves, but praying for others. Interceding, stepping in on their behalf in prayer. Every kind of prayer is what the Lord has for us. We are to pray with all prayer. Other ways to think of praying in a diverse manner. We're to pray alone. In fact, that's probably how most of us pray. But we're not just to pray alone. We're to pray together. The reason we're adding a prayer vigil to the prayer day that's coming up in a couple of weeks is because it's different in form and purpose and function and nature. To pray alone is one kind of prayer. But if you've prayed with others, you know it's different. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. The kingship presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is known in an unusual way and affects our prayer life in a very special way when we're praying with other people. It's great to pray alone. We should. But we should also pray together. Pray with all prayer, with every kind of prayer. We're to pray vocally. We're to pray silently. Now, most probably are accustomed to praying vocally, at least hear other people praying vocally. But we also can pray silently. When we're in the midst of others or in something where a verbal prayer would be very disruptive, we can be praying. Some of you are probably praying right now. My guess is that you are. I pray that some of you are praying right now. I hardly get through a message that I am not praying somewhere along the way silently. All kinds of prayer. Most people pray by lists. Well, many people pray by lists. They jot down a few things to pray about. I started doing that many, many, many years ago. Now I have a prayer folder that I use. And it's very helpful, and I appreciate it. But that's only one type of prayer. There also is spontaneous prayer. Prayers that we won't find on our list or maybe anyone else's list. But we're to pray with all prayer, with all types of prayers. We're to pray brief, we're to pray long. Sometimes it's appropriate to just pray briefly, a sentence or a phrase. Particularly if a group is praying in a short time period, it's very considerate to pray briefly and let everyone express their hearts. There are times when we're praying that we might pray for minutes or longer, and we just don't feel like it's enough yet. Sharing our requests is one way to pray. And often when Christians get together to pray, they share requests with each other. Sister, would you pray with me concerning this? Or brother, would you pray about that matter? And that's good, and we should do that. But also, we can gather and just pray. Just let our requests be made known unto the Lord. I believe that's the way the gals generally pray when they have their prayer hour on Friday morning, 9:30 to 10:30. It's personally my favorite kind of group prayer. I like to just gather in the name of the Lord and just start speaking to the Lord. It's sort of like it says in Ephesians, well, more specifically, to quote Philippians 4, let your requests be made known unto God. Sometimes we gather to pray and we let our requests be made so fully known to one another, there's no time left to pray. You know? All kinds of ways are right to pray. And we're told not just to pick one or two. We are commanded, instructed as children of the Lord to pray with all prayer. To let all kinds of praying develop in our prayer life. We're also told here to pray at all times. This is sort of an echo of 1 Thessalonians 5, which says, pray without ceasing. We're to pray in every kind of situation and on all sorts of occasions. The prayer meeting is not the only time to pray. Personal devotions is not the only time to pray. We're to pray at all times. At all times. When we get up in the morning, that's a perfect time to begin to pray. When we're retiring, going to bed in the evening, that's a perfect time to pray. When we're sitting down to have a meal, that's an ideal time to pray. When we're getting ready to go to a meeting, that's a great time to pray. When we're getting ready to make a phone call or we hear the phone ring, that's a great time to pray. I've told you many times my telephone prayer stories, how I learned to pray when the phone rang. If you want to learn that, come here and sit around here and answer the phone for a day or two. You'll learn when the phone rings, start praying. And it's not unlike that in a lot of our households, you know. Who knows what's going on at the other end of that ring? When someone knocks at the door, that's a great time to be reminded, hey, I probably ought to pray a minute or a moment, depending how long it takes you to get to the door. We're to pray at all times. We're to pray at work. Sometimes we can pray between tasks at work. Sometimes our work is such that we can pray while we're working. You know? Some of you have been digging fence posts this year. That's hard work. But it's good prayer time. You know? It doesn't take a lot of brain activity. It takes a lot of brawn to dig a hole. Great time to pray. All kinds of work can be accompanied with prayer. Some kinds of work better never be done without a lot of prayer. It's a great time to pray. At home is a wonderful time to pray. And we should pray at all times. Just going through the routines of life, whether it's washing dishes or mowing a yard, that's a great time to pray. Instead of turning on loud, raucous, soul-disturbing music, or something that'll make you nostalgic and think of the good old days, pray instead. You know, just pray. When you face a challenge, it's a good time to pray. When you face a crisis, critical time to pray. You might be writing a letter. Great time to pray. Pray that you'll put the right content in the letter. Pray for the one to whom you're writing. You might be preparing for an appointment. One that might be exciting and fun, or one that might be scary and threatening. Either way, great time to pray. Driving down the freeway, tremendous time to pray. Wise time to pray. You might be facing a heartache. Super time to pray. Probably one of the easier times to remember to pray. You might be going through a blessing. Wonderful time to pray. Prayers of thanksgiving. You might be listening to someone. I found that's a good time to pray. Because usually, when you're listening to someone, the time is going to come where they're going to want to hear from you. And talking is also a good time to pray, particularly before you talk. Great time to pray. We are called upon to pray at all times. All kinds of prayer, all kinds of occasions. But then we are instructed how to pray this way. Pray at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. That is, by the work and the help of the Holy Spirit. We'll get more into detail on that particular phrase this Wednesday night when we do a verse-by-verse in-depth study of this second half of chapter 6, Ephesians. But to put it simply, praying in the Spirit is essential. And we're to pray at all times in the Spirit. Every time we pray, ideally it is to be in or by the Spirit. That is, depending on the Holy Spirit. You know, it isn't enough just to pray by our minds. It isn't enough to pray by our memories. It isn't enough to pray by our zeal or devotion. That's not enough when it comes to the matter of how to pray. We need to pray by the Spirit. When we pray, we should look to the Holy Spirit for guidance, for insight, for strength, for faith, for concentration. Do you ever pray and find your mind drifting? And you wonder what's wrong with you? Well, whatever's wrong with you is wrong with all the rest of us. Everyone I've ever known that was honest about it has that same problem. It's another reminder why we need the Holy Spirit. You know, you start into this fervent prayer, and 3 minutes later, you remembered you forgot to buy something at the grocery store, you know. Or 3 minutes later, you remembered you needed to get that ticket to the Lakers game or something, you know, really important. We're to pray by the Spirit. We need to look to the Spirit of God for burden and urgency. If we could see what's going on in the world and the church from the perspective of God, our prayers would be radically different than just human approach to prayer. When we desire to pray in the Spirit, we really begin to pray the way God wants us to pray. and it changes our prayer life. Romans 8 says, we don't know how to pray the way we should, but the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. We all have a weakness in the area of prayer. That is, we don't know how to do it the way we should. But the Spirit will help our weakness and will come to our aid and will even utter up groanings too deep for words. Some prayer you can't put into words. You just go, oh, Lord. And sometimes you've said it all. We need the Holy Spirit in our prayers. We need Him desperately. Another matter to consider concerning how to pray is we're to pray with this in view, it says, be on the alert. Nothing is probably more useless or more inappropriate than dull, inattentive praying. God wants us alert in prayer. He wants us vigilant, ready to pray, looking for opportunities of prayer. With this in view, be on the alert. How many people gather at churches just looking for the next opportunity to pray? So alert! Not many. Generally, when you announce a prayer meeting in the body of Christ, well, it's been years since there was a stampede to sign up. Why is that so? Some of the hardest work you'll ever be involved in, spiritually speaking, is prayer. But also, it's hard to find anything more important in the kingdom of God, except perhaps than the Word itself, than prayer. The Word being more important because it's there we learn how to pray, what to pray about, and to whom to pray. Prayer is so critical in the kingdom, so tragically neglected, and it has brought dullness of life spiritually to many a Christian, to many a church, and has slowed down the progress of both in many, many, many cases. This is why the Lord calls us to alertness. He knows we need to be awakened in these areas. And praise the Lord, we can cry out to God by His Holy Spirit to prompt and stir and keep us alert. How are we to pray? Attentive, with vigilance. But also we're told here we're to pray with all perseverance. That is, with every measure of persistence. To put it another way, don't give up praying till God is done with a matter. Some have said to pray more than once on a subject is a sign of a lack of faith. I don't know who said that, but I strongly beg to differ with that. Maybe I said that once. But it's not right. It's not right. The way we know it's not right is just go into Gethsemane. Jesus cried out 3 times, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. If He did it, we know it's right. And He prayed repeatedly for a matter. We are not to give up praying. We tend to cave in too easily and quit. That's why we're told in praying, pray with all perseverance. Many times we quit miles, sometimes inches short of the time when God ordained to move. See, while we're praying, something is happening to us. We're being drawn toward the Lord. We're being stirred. We're being moved into the things of the kingdom. But often while we're praying, things are happening with others. Our prayer may be right. It may be God's will. It may be just God's timing that is to come around. It may be that the Lord is waiting for others to catch on of that need and pray, so that when the matter is answered, not just one person will stand to give thanks and praise, but a multitude will give God thanks for the same work. Also, we'll see particularly this Wednesday evening, because these verses come out of the paragraph on spiritual warfare, we'll see there's a battle often in heavenly places when we're praying. We're praying and the answer is delaying and we're going, what's the deal here? Well, I guess God's not going to do it. Hold on. Maybe He is. Was it the prayer of Daniel that had an answer delayed, what, 3 weeks? Because of a spiritual struggle in heavenly places between angelic beings, one of whom was to come and deal with the issue Daniel was praying about? Prayer is bigger than we think it is. And we're called to pray with all perseverance, to stick to it, to hang in there. Don't say a prayer and then back out. In fact, don't say prayers. Pray. Children can say prayers. Grown-ups in the Lord should pray. The little ones will learn. And sometimes as they're saying their prayers, you can tell when they're really praying. You can tell when that earnestness comes out of their hearts, where they're not just repeating a poem, but they want God to do something. And they've gone from saying prayers to praying. How are we to pray in this so important area of our lives? We are to pray with all kinds of prayer, in every kind of situation, depending on the Holy Spirit, looking for opportunities for more prayer, and with persistence. Now that's a word about how to pray. What are we to pray for? These verses go on to speak of that, and the first instruction on that is this. Pray for all the saints. The end of verse 18. Pray for all the saints. Saints are believers. They're not a few who've reached a certain echelon. That's something that man invented. It's a religious activity. It has nothing to do with the Word of God. You find the word saints in the Word, and every time you find it, it has to do with all those who are the people of God. Christians, believers, and we are to pray for all the saints. We're not just to pray for us and ours. Most prayers are in that realm, it seems. Lord, bless me and bless mine. Lord, I need you and help my kids. Now listen, those are legitimate prayers. We should never stop praying them. But we've only started to pray when we're praying for me and mine, us and ours. We're to pray for all the saints. We could put it this way. That would say to us that at least we should pray for every Christian in our church family. And there's a true application of that. In our church family, for whom do we pray? Just ourselves? Just our family? Just a few that we know well? Or those we like to hang out with? We're to pray for all the saints. Some of you, praise the Lord, take time periodically, some do it every week, to go right through the entire church directory and pray one at a time for every family in the church. I know God loves that. And what blessing it brings to the people of God. It's one way to apply this injunction to pray for all the saints. But it's broader than that. Another realm we could pray in are the 7 churches now involved in the Irvine Pastors Prayer Meeting. You know, 7 of us pastors have been together now nearly a year each month, praying for each other, praying for one another's churches and ministries, and praying for the church families and families in the churches. This is a good realm in which to pray for all the saints in this group of 7 churches. It touches thousands of lives who themselves touch thousands of others of lives. It's good to pray throughout the ministries of these 7 churches. No one of them is more important in the eyes of God than the other. We need to be praying for God's best for all of them. But we can pray beyond that for all the saints. We should pray for the church, the body of Christ, in Irvine. in Tustin, in Orange County. When was the last time you prayed for all the saints in the United States of America? We're called to pray for all the saints. How about praying for Christians in nations that are going through tremendous turmoil? Colombia, El Salvador, Nicaragua. How about Eastern Europe? The change is taking place there and how it affects believers. How about the Soviet Union? The Church of Jesus Christ is there. Do we pray for her? China. There is a glorious church, perhaps 50 to 100 million believers in that land. Do we pray for her? The body of Christ, the bride of Christ in China? We're to pray for all the saints. If we could see some of the things they face, we probably would be so consumed in our prayers for them, we would hardly think of praying for ourselves. Sure, we have challenges and needs. But compared with what some of the saints face, we've got it made fully. We are to pray for all the saints. Saints in South Africa, a land of turmoil. Oh, how this affects the saints there. The saints in Nepal. You know, in that nation of Nepal, a brother was through this area recently and gave a testimony. He's been ministering there for 30, 40 years. It's against the law to witness for Jesus Christ. You bear a public witness, you go to jail. We need to pray for the saints of Nepal. For whom should we pray? We're called to pray for all the saints. The call goes from praying for all the saints to a request by Paul. He says, pray on my behalf, verse 19. From all the saints down to one of the saints, the Apostle Paul. He said, pray on my behalf. This, I think, we can use as a reminder to pray for all those who proclaim the word. Be they missionaries, like Paul was, evangelists, like Billy Graham, who will soon be ministering. I think it is right in front of the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin in a great open-air crusade. Do we pray for saints like that that proclaim the word? I believe we should. I believe we should. Teachers of the word in churches and schools throughout the land. We should pray on their behalf. Pastors. Believe me, I know we should pray for pastors. I pray for many pastors. I pray for many pastors in general. I pray for many pastors I know personally. I would just quote again what Paul has said for myself. Would you pray on my behalf? I know some of you do. We had a day of prayer recently and someone called and told Dini that they were led of the Lord to spend all day in prayer for me. And it was such a tremendous blessing, and it all of a sudden it explained something to me. I had a very exceedingly challenging day ahead. And I was amazed how I was just making it through so tremendously. You know, Lord, I was ready to be buried, and here I am alive. What a blessing. It just shows you the power, the effectiveness of prayer. I have never personally felt the need or wanted prayer more in my life ever than these days. I've never seen the opportunity so great or the challenges so impossible. Pray on my behalf, I ask you. But pray for all who proclaim the word. If the word of God doesn't get out, nothing happens. It all starts with a revelation of the truth of God. Everything comes from God speaking first. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Had He not spoken, there would be no light. Into our lives and hearts, He spoke the truth. Had He not spoken into our hearts, there had been no light ever shining in our hearts. Oh, we need to pray for those who proclaim the Word. In some places in our land, there is a famine of the Word of God. In some places in Orange County, there's a famine. In some churches of Irvine and Tustin, there's a famine of the Word of God. We're going to spend all of our time teaching time today in the Word. Do you know there are churches within 10 minutes from here that might not open the Word once in the whole service? Or if they opened it, might be to read a verse, close it, and move on. Or might read a phrase, a place where the pastor could jump on it and, as they say, springboard any direction he wants to run. There's a famine of the Word of God in many places. We need to pray for those who have the responsibility to get it out. Now, as we're praying for those who get the Word out, for what do we pray? Here we're told to pray for utterance and boldness. Utterance and boldness. Utterance has to do with words. Pray that those who teach or preach the Word will be given from God the appropriate words for the subject and for the listeners. And also pray for boldness, that is, courage. It goes against the way of man to proclaim the truth of God. And every place you proclaim the Word, you can sense a resistance. Now, in so many of your hearts, I love to teach the Word of God among you. I feel like your spiritual hunger is reaching right inside of me and yanking out what God has given me. What a blessing! But even as we gather, I often sense when the Word is open, I see a face of granite here or a look of hardness there. It takes courage from God to proclaim the Word of God. In some places and cases, more courage than others. And we want to be praying for those who send forth the Word for utterance and boldness that they might make known the mystery of the gospel. This is the heart of it all, that the gospel will get out. The gospel is the good news. The good news that for spiritually dead and guilty mankind, there is forgiveness and eternal life. That's the good news. It's the heart of the Word. Mankind lives or exists, we should say, in guilt because of their sins. And in light of that, they are spiritually dead. The wages of sin is death. They're cut off from communion and fellowship with God. They're not alive unto God, they're just dead unto God. They're only sensitive to things of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they need to hear the good news that for the guilt of their sin, there's forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And that in place of their spiritual deadness, there's new life, eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the gospel. I am increasingly flabbergasted that we can put the name of Jesus Christ on our churches and church buildings and not proclaim the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. Somehow we use His name and trade off His message. He made it so clear He came to die for the sins of the world. He didn't come to just teach us and give us an example and leave with a legend of what a man He was. He came to die for the sins of the world. He died for your sins and mine and all of sin and come short of the glory of God. Let's pray that when the Word goes forth, the mystery of the gospel will get out. The good news of forgiveness and eternal life in Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this is a mystery though. There's a mystery to the gospel. In the New Testament, a mystery is something that cannot be known unless God reveals it. The gospel is a mystery. Explain it to someone who isn't humbly open to God and seeking God, and they'll go, "Well, that can't be. Well, that's foolishness. Well, that's too easy. Well, what about these people here or those people there? Well, what about those who did this? Well, I once heard said that." And there's no understanding of the gospel. It's a mystery. But to everyone, including all of us, who have humbled our hearts before the Lord and said, "Lord, okay, Your Word has nailed us. We're guilty. We're sinners. And Your Word has described us. We're dead spiritually. Now forgive us and make us alive in Christ." For all who will humble themselves before the Lord in that way, the mystery is revealed. And the gospel becomes the only true and living hope. And we need to pray that as those who are called to get out the word begin to proclaim it, that they will boldly, courageously utter the message of the mystery of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're with us today and have never responded to this great gospel. Jesus said, "Come to me." Have you come? Jesus said, "Believe on me." Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Have you begun to walk with Him and in Him found salvation? If not, nothing God wants to give you can be yours because He's the door. Come into the door of Jesus Christ and everything the Lord has is found in Him. I encourage you as we conclude this morning that you just put your heart and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've heard how to pray. Now, what should we pray for? Well, not just for our own needs and desires, but for all the saints, and giving special attention to those who get out the Word of God, that with the right words and with courage, they will proclaim the mystery of the gospel for all who will humbly hear and receive. May we be such people, and may this church be made up of those who will not let a neglect of this major area of prayer bring to us a poor quality of spiritual life or poor progress in spiritual growth. May we instead be those who are really learning what prayer is all about, growing in it, and pleasing God in it, and growing through it as well. Amen. Let's pray together and then sing a song of response. Dear Father in heaven, even at this moment, we exercise this great call and we pray. We pray together. We knit our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those who've never trusted in You, we pray right now. Encourage them that the good news is the good news of Jesus, and that forgiveness and eternal life is found in Him alone. Stir their hearts, Holy Spirit, to trust in You. And Lord, for all of us, we want to know more and more and more both how to pray and what to pray for. We look to You, Lord. We know this is an enormously important area of life. By the work of Your Holy Spirit in us, Lord, would You lead us on in these things. And may we be the part of the body of Christ that willingly and gladly makes known the gospel of Jesus. May we lift up that great name of Jesus, the name above all names. We ask in that name, Amen.